Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
From pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. And despite the fact that it remains a great nation, and despite the fact that many Americans, most Americans actually, believe that the nation is great, if not the greatest nation on God's green earth, there's an indication that actually folks are extremely confused and contradictory in their attitudes toward themselves and toward humanity in general. In a recent study of 2,000 U.S. adults, 81% said they believe that humankind is inherently good, and 3 in 4 believe they're fundamentally a good person. Okay, fine. But when asked how they would compare themselves to others in their life, 46% went a step further, admitting to a belief that they're better than everyone else they know. How does that comport with being a good person? If you think you're better than everyone else you know. By the way, broken down by gender, female respondents were much less likely to think of themselves as good. 86% of men think we're good. Only 67% of women. Does that mean that women really are not as good as men? Actually, I think it's the opposite. I think that if 86% of men think of themselves as good, think of some of the folks who might be included in that. Women are also much more likely to believe that humanity is bad. Only 4% of men think humanity is bad, 20% of women. Now, could that have to do with the fact that women generally, not always, but generally are partnered with men, and they actually can sometimes see the worst of us? And by the way, which generational group is least likely to believe in the goodness of humanity? Millennials, by far. With more than three-quarters of people, 81%, believing humankind is inherently good, only half of millennials believe that. That's people between the ages of 25 and 39. They're also the least likely to claim to be a good person, only 68%. And the most likely to say they don't think in terms of good and bad, 12%. Of millennials reject the whole difference between good and bad. Across the entire panel, 72% admit to judging other people's behavior. Is that a terrible thing, to judge other people's behavior? In other words, if you see some of the horrible criminal behavior that was displayed over the weekend. They had another mass shooting in Colorado and at a birthday party. Now, can we judge that kind of behavior? And if you don't think in terms of good and bad, what terms do you think of in terms of, oh, I don't know, both of those recent shootings in Colorado or anywhere else? 1-800-955-1776, our phone number. Respondents were most likely to say that a good person should be kind. I think that's good. Giving, yes. And friendly, yes. But when asked to list the qualities that they wished to have, what was the most important quality they wished to have? To be more successful. That mattered more than even happiness. And I guess the assumption is that success always brings happiness. If you just look at Hollyweird, for instance, where there's just problems with the Hollywood Foreign Press Association being dumped from from, by the way, it's a range of companies now that are refusing to deal with the Golden Globes. It's not just NBC that's dropping them. But every once in a while, Hollywood can come out with a fine message. That was a case in a film which I liked. It's a sports movie. Came out in 2005. Stars Samuel L. Jackson. It's based on a true story. And he's a coach who comes back to his high school in Richmond, California, which is in the Bay Area. And we, last hour, were talking about a lengthy piece in the Washington Post about using the N-word. And there's actually a scene, and good on Jeremy Steiner, pride of Hillsdale College, who actually recalled this, because when he made the point, this is a memorable scene. And Coach Carter is trying to shape up this team. And to shape them up, he also wants to shape up their academic performance. One of the big highlights of the film is he bans his star players when their academics fall down, because he made a deal with them about doing a certain level of academic work. In any event, Coach Carter comes into the locker room, and there are a number of black players who are joking and calling each other the N-word. One of them says, "That's my N-word right there. If you was any bigger, you'd be my bigger N-word." And then Coach Carter has his say. It sounds like this.
"Is a derogatory term used to insult our ancestors. See, if a white man used it, you'd be ready to fight. You're using it teaches him to use it. You're saying it's cool. Well, it's not cool. And when you're around me, I don't want to hear that. We clear?"
"Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir."
Okay, the last word when he says, "I don't want to hear that," beep, it was not the N-word that was beeped. It was the S-word. And I think you know what that is. Speaking of S-word, this story from Northwestern University. The Northwestern University opinion editor recently published an article saying that white people express racism when they walk on sidewalks. "When I first got to Northwestern, I wondered why walking around on campus could be so frustrating. Even when sidewalks were relatively empty, I would often have to walk way around people to pass without bumping into them," wrote Kenny Allen of the Daily Northwestern. Northwestern, of course, in Evanston, Illinois. He says, "At first I chalked it up to the geographic diversity of the school. Maybe the people that came to this school were used to different ways of moving through a public place. However, after talking to black friends about my experience," he concluded, "people at this predominantly white school would not move out of our way on the sidewalk." Laying out the claims by University of Richmond sociologist Bedelia Richards for determining whether one's university is racist, such as which groups feel most at home, whose norms, values, and perspectives are legitimated, and who inhabits positions of power, Allen concluded that white people meet most of the criteria. Allen then asserted the formal rules of Jim Crow were accompanied by a set of informal rules that govern the way black people approached white people in public space and vice versa. This social order required black people to yield to white people whenever possible, such as stepping off the sidewalk when a white person was walking past. There's actually a famous story about two historic figures that offers a perfect solution to this problem of sidewalk space. This is one of the silliest things, it seems to me, that I have heard, and goes back to maybe some of that advice you should get from the other survey. Be kind, be reasonable, be sane, and maybe follow the example of Henry Clay and John Randolph. Tell you what that means coming right up on the MedVet Show.
your outlet for outrage.
Where's the outrage? I'm shook up, and you know what's going to happen? I'm going to be driving down the road listening to all this. I'm going to wreck the car and sue Michael Medved.
Okay, don't sue and don't wreck the car.
The Michael Medved Show.
To put it simply, materialism is the attempt to prove that human beings are merely meat in motion, and that we have no free will, that we have no souls, that morality and religion are simply evolutionary artifacts programmed by nature for survival, and that our very thoughts and ideas can be fully explained by our brain chemistry. Darwin's theory of evolution made scientific atheism credible by offering a scientific explanation on how human beings could be generated through a blind process of random variation and natural selection. At discovery.org/Medved, you can get a free mini book, free, Darwin's Three Big Ideas That Impacted Humanity. It explores how three key concepts from Darwin undermine morality, religion, medicine, the criminal justice system, and the value of human life. Get your free book at discovery.org/Medved. That's discovery.org/Medved. Small investors shamed Wall Street by running the price of certain stocks way up to the detriment of big hedge funds, social media, and trading platforms, then kept investors from buying stock. A financial war is being waged in America. With all this volatility, now's an even better time to protect your net worth and own precious metals as part of your portfolio. Nick Rovich, who's the owner of Amfed Coin and Bullion, has always been fair and honest with my precious metals holdings, and now, more than ever, it's a good time to own tangible assets like gold, silver, and platinum. Amfed can show you smart choices, which have been proven winners time and time again. Call Nick and his team at Amfed today, 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694, or visit AmericanFederal.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Politics to pop culture, and from coast to coast, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And on the Michael Medved Show, talking about an article in the Daily Northwestern, which is the student newspaper at Northwestern University. And Northwestern University, which I used to visit during those years when I was working in Chicago, and never lived in Chicago, but worked there for 12 years. And Northwestern, of course, in Evanston, Illinois, beautiful campus, very fine school, great law school, and a great journalism school, which is interesting. It's Northwestern, I believe, in most ratings, is the top journalism school in the country, which is why it's so intriguing that the editor of the student newspaper, the Daily Northwestern, would write this piece about Jim Crow sidewalks. And look, let me put this into a little bit of context. He said, the formal rules of Jim Crow were accompanied by a set of informal ones that governed the way black people approached white people in public space and vice versa. The social order required black people to yield to white people wherever possible, such as stepping off the sidewalk when a white person was walking past. White people came to expect the right of way in public spaces. White people who were accustomed to moving through the world like that, intentionally or not, taught their kids to move through the world in the same way, and the racism that undergirded Jim Crow wasn't eliminated just because the laws were no longer overtly racist. He concluded his piece by saying many white people walk around campus having unknowingly absorbed this particular facet of white supremacy, and the leaders of the institution do little to make us believe that white supremacy is something worth challenging in the first place. Okay, so how do you challenge white supremacy? You have a confrontation if somebody doesn't step around you? I mean, really? Is Jeremy just flashed? That's very clever. Jeremy just flashed up another sign of walking racism. And you know those flashing signals that say walk or don't walk, they show somebody holding back or somebody walking. When it shows somebody walking, that's usually white against a black background. Huh? Is that racism? And it's usually a male. Think about that, the stick figure that they use and the walk, don't walk thing. Okay, here is my theory about this. And I wish I could, I would love to have this Kenny Allen on to talk about this, because I honestly believe this to be the case. Let's say you're walking down the street and it's a beautiful spring day and it's the Northwestern University campus. And let's say, just for the sake of argument, that you're white. You're not thinking about it a lot, that I'm white, look how privileged I am, I look how powerful I am, I'm white, I own the sidewalks. You're just walking down the sidewalk, minding your own business, probably thinking about something else. And there are a couple of black guys who are walking toward you. And it's a narrow sidewalk, you can't easily walk past them. Okay, what are you thinking? If you stop, it might be an expression of racism. In other words, one of the things that grounds for racism, and I think they are probably true, is that sometimes white people are afraid of black people, particularly black males. But you don't ever want to express that. You don't want to. In other words, what would the impression be if you have these two people walking toward each other, and the white guy steps aside or just stops or runs? Wouldn't the expression be that I don't like you? I'm afraid of you? I have a negative response to you? In other words, if you're walking and not walking directly up and say, hey, buddy, get out of my way, that, of course, is unacceptable on any side. But basically, you just keep walking on one side and you don't step aside and get out of your way for somebody else. Because if you did step aside and get out of your way from somebody else, you might be communicating the idea that I'm afraid of the person, or I have apprehension about the person, or I believe the person is inherently other. It would be some other expression of racism. The story I was going to tell about this is a story that was told about two members of the House of Representatives. Henry Clay was a Speaker of the House. And he was really the Speaker of the House who got us into the War of 1812 with the War Hawks. One of his big opponents in that effort was John Randolph of Roanoke, who was a very colorful, weird character. He was noted for a very high piping voice, and he had some kind of hormonal difficulty that he wasn't able to grow a beard, and he was criticized for that in the House floor. People called him, dare I say it, effeminate. In any event, in those days in Washington, D.C., they had wood plank sidewalks, and the roads were very muddy and filled with detritus from the mode of transportation, which was horses and carriages. So there was a lot of poop there, and so you really wanted to stay on the sidewalk. And at one point, Henry Clay was walking down the sidewalk. Big man, ran for president 3 times, never won. But he's walking along the wood sidewalk, and Speaker of the House Henry Clay sees approaching him John Randolph of Roanoke. Much littler guy, much less physical guy. And Henry Clay says to John Randolph, "I never step aside, sir, for a scoundrel." And Randolph looks back at him. He says, "On the contrary, Mr. Speaker, I always do." And then walks around him. Okay, who wins that confrontation? But the idea that we are so tortured in our race obsessions that you would hear about Jim Crow sidewalks at Northwestern University. By the way, Northwestern University was, to some extent, owes its title to the Northwest Ordinance. The Northwest Ordinance was a bill passed by Congress unanimously in the Articles of Confederation before the Constitution. It was passed in May of 1787. And one of the provisions of that bill, setting up the new states of Illinois, Wisconsin, Indiana, and Ohio, was that slavery would be forever banned in those states. And without that Northwest Ordinance that was passed with the votes of 5 southern slave states, without that, it's very, very doubtful that the North would have prevailed in a sectional conflict that came some 70 years later. It's worth considering. By the way, check out our new history podcast. It's posted up for Medheads at michaelmedved.com or the Medhead website. Meanwhile, a prominent Democrat defending the police. We'll get to that coming up on the Medved Show.
He is a symbol of what an individual is capable of.
Michael Medved.
He is a giant among men.
The Michael Medved Show.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Anyone collecting unemployment
who is offered a suitable job must take the job or lose their unemployment benefits.
President Biden at the White House with a message for those who are collecting unemployment and not taking jobs, as some employers are indicating, as they're trying to find people to fill jobs and unable to find qualified applicants. The cyber attack on a pipeline that runs from Texas to New York is being linked to a group of Russian hackers and possibly Eastern European. Acting Army Secretary John Whitley says even if the Russian government was not involved, this is a gray area when it comes to what constitutes a digital act of war.
We are under attack in ways that if they were kinetic, they'd be considered pretty significant.
President Biden also saying he will be bringing up the hacking to Russian President Vladimir Putin when the two meet. USA Radio News.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
On the Michael Medved show, there's a common belief that was promoted heavily in response to Rick Santorum and his comments about Native Americans, and the fact that there was not a replacement of a thriving nation or even national culture. What you had was a bunch of very bitterly divided tribes, but in any event, the big response was, well, yeah, but we got our whole Constitution from Native Americans and Native American culture. What about that charge, the idea that the Constitution was based on the Iroquois Confederacy, and Benjamin Franklin even mentioned it? That's the subject of our In Light of History podcast, the most recent one. We just posted it today, and it's worth checking out. For anybody who wants to know the truth about that particular dispute, you can become a MedHead. It costs 11 cents a day. You have access to this radio program wherever you are, whenever you want it, downloadable, commercial-free. And it's a great opportunity because you also then have access to our In Light of History podcast. And I'm planning to do one next about precisely what we were talking about just moments ago, which is the Northwest Ordinance, the miracle that even slaveholding states voted to ban slavery from the future states of Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, and Wisconsin, and a little part of Minnesota, too, but none of which ever had slavery in any form because before the Constitution that was established. By the way, the original drafter of the Northwest Ordinance, not the final drafter, the original drafter, Thomas Jefferson. Okay, there's one issue above all others, it seems to me, that should allow people on every side of the political spectrum to come together, and that's the issue of public safety. I mean, the headlines over the weekend are horrible. They're disturbing. A Baltimore area shooting and fire leave four dead. Four people died, including a gunman who was shot by police after officers and firefighters responded to reports of a shooting and a fire Saturday in Baltimore County, Maryland. 6:40 a.m. Saturday, authorities responded to a residential neighborhood in Woodlawn, Maryland. When police arrived, they found an armed man outside a townhouse, and the threat was neutralized, said Joy Stewart, a spokesperson for the Baltimore County Police Department. The gunman, who was not immediately identified, was later pronounced dead. Three other victims, two men and one woman, also died. It was not immediately clear how they died. A fifth person had injuries that were not life-threatening, authorities said. Police said Saturday afternoon that they had located two other people who were originally unaccounted for earlier in the day. Their conditions were not immediately known. Random thing, 6 in the morning on Saturday, and apparently the fire was set. We need the police. Who says so? Andrew Yang, who is running way ahead in the New York mayoral race. And why? Because he seems to be the most sane of the Democrats who are running. And he and the other front runner, whose name is Eric Adams, is a former police captain. Now he's Brooklyn Borough president. Andrew Yang, you know from the presidential race. The National Review highlights his comments yesterday very approvingly. During an appearance at the Crossroads of the World Sunday morning, NYC mayoral candidate Andrew Yang said the city cannot afford to defund the police. After a shooting incident involving three bystanders happened on Saturday. The truth is that New York City cannot afford to defund the police, Yang said. When I talk to New Yorkers, I get a very different message every single day. New Yorkers are concerned about rising rates of violent crime, petty crime, street homelessness. This is what we are seeing, and we need our city's leaders to step up right now, Yang said. Sky Martinez, a four-year-old girl, was shopping for toys at Line Friends on Saturday when a gunman bickering with three other people near Times Square fired his weapon into the crowd, shooting her and wounding two other tourists. All three people are expected to survive from their injuries. Yang is the front runner for the June 22nd mayoral primary in New York. The candidate emphasized the need for well-reasoned and well-staffed law enforcement to protect the city and its residents. Quote, "Nothing works in our city. Nothing without public safety. And for public safety, we need the police." This is duh, but isn't it refreshing to hear a Democrat acknowledge it? Yang said, "My message to the NYPD is this. New York needs you. Your city needs you. We need you to do your jobs professionally, responsibly, and justly. And as you do these things, the people of New York will have your backs. I will have your back. Defund the police is wrong for New York City," Yang added. If elected mayor, Yang promised to, quote, "appoint reform-minded officers to help get guns out of our communities." And he promised to send more cops to areas with higher gun violence. And when he's talking about getting guns out of the communities, he's not talking about knocking on doors and taking away guns from law-abiding citizens. He's talking about cutting down on the gang violence and the pointless shooting like what happened near Times Square, what happened in Baltimore, what happened in Denver. I mean, isn't it obvious that the worst possible thing a mayor of New York or a president of the United States could do would be to cut back on funding for police departments, which, honest to goodness, are our only hope against this rising tide in violence. I was reading recently about President Nayib Bukele, president of El Salvador. El Salvador, 2 years ago, had 21 times the murder rate of the United States. It's the worst murder rate in the world. Utterly violent. Bukele won the presidency in a landslide, promising one thing. I'm going to crack down on crime and crack down on the criminal gangs. And he's cut the murder rate in El Salvador in 2 years by 70%. Okay, that's impressive. I know that there are people, particularly on the left, because Bukele right now identifies as a right-winger, but there are people who say, oh, he's not respecting democratic norms. Look, when you have a country that is consumed by violence, there is no substitute for cracking down on crime. It's the most important job for any government, whether that government is New York City or a third world struggling country like El Salvador. And by the way, El Salvador is one of the crucial countries on the immigration issue, because they have had just recently 200,000 people who have been fleeing from El Salvador to look for somewhere else to go. Isn't it appropriate that we should do whatever we can to help suppress the brutal street crime that goes on in our own country, unfortunately, and the infinitely worse plague of violence that makes Central America such a source of desperate refugees? When we come back, Michelle Obama speaking out on the police, not as constructively as Andrew Yang at all. We'll hear it coming up.
The greatest show on it is God's Green Earth.
I'm sorry, but that is the truth.
The Michael Medved Show.
Even for Americans who've been successful in dodging the coronavirus so far, there's still a problem of pain. There are 100 million Americans who suffer from ongoing pain due to overexertion or exercise or just aging or the effects of everyday living, and Relief Factor can help. It helps exercise-related pain or general muscle aches and pains, and it certainly does for me. There are four key ingredients. Each one approaches the body's natural anti-inflammatory response function from different metabolic pathways. The 3-week quick start can show you how it works. It's just $19.95, 95 cents a day, less than a cup of coffee a day, much less for pain relief. Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands, and certainly for me. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain, the whole world to gain. As the nation pivots from the Trump administration to the reality of the Biden administration, Americans seem divided as never before. What does our country even believe in common anymore? One organization that continues to stand for what America has always believed is the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College. This institute stands for the first things, the permanent things, for religious liberty, for freedom of conscience, for family, for limited government, for free markets, for our nation's Judeo-Christian heritage. Go to the website faithandfreedom.com, and you will see insightful, bold opinion pieces from the renowned faculty at Grove City College in Pennsylvania. See Mark Hendrickson's latest on GameStop, Wall Street, and the hedge fund manager. See John Sparks and former Deputy Attorney General Paul McNulty on impeachment. And take a look at our friend Paul Kanger's articles and speeches. There are lots of them. You can find all this and much more at the website of the Institute for Faith and Freedom. That's faithandfreedom.com. Again, faithandfreedom.com.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer. It's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer. Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer. Excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $50 on our popular 4-week emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $50 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
You are an outstanding role model and an inspiration to all of us.
Michael Medved.
Well, thank you very much. I'm not so sure about Michelle Obama on that, but let me put this in context by telling you a little bit more about this story that we should hear more about with Baltimore, Maryland, because, again, they haven't yet identified the shooter or the victims. That's coming. But over the weekend, Kwaku Kwanza, who is 51, who was a neighbor, said he heard what sounded like an explosion and came outside to check what was going on. This is at 6 in the morning. He said he saw his neighbor's house was on fire. The neighboring house also collapsed and was burnt down. The fires were gas-fed. They were not an accident, apparently. His neighbor's house was on fire, and then he saw the gunman walking between cars firing shots. He was shooting toward us, Kwanza said. And then I saw a lady on the ground. He turned and shot the lady again on the ground. Kwanza said he has been a resident in the neighborhood for 23 years and said what took place Saturday was not surprising. It was just a matter of when. It was like a ticking bomb, he said. Residents say the gunman lived in the community and had threatened and confronted neighbors frequently, accusing them of spying on him for the federal government. Kwanza said he reported the suspect to police in the past, more than once. We don't know why he was doing that, but this has been going on over and over and over again, Kwanza said. A lot of people tried to complain about it, but nothing was done. I was like, do you all want him to commit a crime before you guys come out to help us? And they, police, said, yes, that is Maryland law. Okay, who knows if this neighbor is narrating this accurately at this point, but for God's sake, can we feel a little bit of sympathy and support for the police, at least to the level that Andrew Yang, a Democrat, does? I mean, come on. How are you supposed to, in this current climate, with a former First Lady of the United States, who, according to recent polling, is the most admired woman in the world? Yeah, Michelle Obama. Yeah, really. And do you admire the way she handled this issue of policing on CBS over the weekend. Listen to what she had to say. This is clip 15.
You know that while we're all breathing a sigh of relief over the verdict, there's still work to be done. And so we can't sort of say, great, that happened, let's move on. I know that people in the black community don't feel that way because many of us still live in fear as we go to the grocery store or worry about walking our dogs or allowing our children to get a license. I mean, just imagine, you know, you have
aren't your girls
right
driving?
Now, they're driving. Yeah. But every time they get in a car by themselves, I worry about what assumption is being made by somebody who doesn't know everything about them. The fact that they are good students and polite girls, but maybe they're playing their music a little loud. Maybe somebody sees the back of their head and makes an assumption. Like so many parents of black kids have to, that the innocent act of getting a license puts fear in our hearts.
Okay, you're promoting that fear, lady, and it's wrong. I read this story about Baltimore, which has gotten very little attention. I don't know what the race is of the neighbor who says he's been for 20 years trying to warn people against this crazy guy next door. I don't know what the race of the shooter is. But what does it matter, for goodness sake? What does it matter? What matters is basically that if you are black, yes, you are in enhanced danger, but it is not from the police. You're in enhanced danger from people like this guy in Baltimore. The police said, well, we're powerless. We couldn't do anything because we have to follow Maryland law. And Baltimore's experiment, meanwhile, with depolicing has been disastrous and deadly. A decade ago, Baltimoreans became lab rats in a fateful experiment. Remember, in response to that Freddie Gray killing, their elected officials decided to treat the city's long-running crime problem with many fewer cops. Great idea. How'd it work out? And in fact, Baltimore began to defund its police and engage in depolicing long before those terms gained popular currency. The experiment has been an abject failure since 2011. Nearly 3,000 Baltimoreans have been murdered. One of every 200 city residents over that period. The annual homicide rate has climbed from 31 per 100,000 to 56, 10 times the national rate. And 93% of the homicide victims of known race over this period were black. Of course, the majority of population in Baltimore, I'm fairly sure, is in fact black. The idea that Michelle Obama would make this case, somebody else on the left was talking much more sensibly on another issue. This on Morning Joe on MSNBC. They have an economic analyst, Stephen Ratner, who nails what is going on right now with our economy. This is clip two. It's very important to listen carefully.
Employers looking for people to work versus people actually applying to work. The light blue line are job openings, which, as you can see, have recovered nicely from the downturn and have, in fact, shot up. The number of job openings in this country is now higher than it was before the pandemic struck. In other words, the number of jobs that are available is higher than it was before. But the number of people applying for jobs has actually stayed very depressed throughout this period of time.
That is a massive gap. I don't know that I've ever seen a gap like that where the job openings are that much higher than the applications for jobs. And first of all, have you ever seen a massive gap that big? And why is it that big? And why do we have more job openings now than we had even before the outbreak of COVID?
We have more job openings now than we had before COVID because we have 8 million fewer jobs, and employers are trying to fill a lot of those jobs, so there are a lot of openings as they look for people to fill them. And you've had companies like Uber and Domino's and Pilgrim's Poultry, which is a big chicken processor, all saying we can't find enough workers, as you just said in your opening. The National Federation of Independent Business says that 44% of its members are having trouble filling jobs, which is the highest number they've ever seen.
Okay, and Joe Biden thinks it has nothing at all to do with because the generous unemployment benefits. Here's Joe Biden at clip 14.
I know there's been a lot of discussion since Friday, since Friday's report, that people are being paid to stay home rather than go to work. Well, we don't see much evidence of that. That is a major factor. We don't see that. Look, it's easy to say the line has been, because of the generous unemployment benefits, that it's a major factor in labor shortages. Americans want to work. Americans want to work. As my dad used to say, a job's about a lot more than a paycheck. It's about your dignity, your place in the community.
Okay, look, it's a good line. He uses it a lot. But he says we've seen no evidence of that. People on MSNBC, people on the left see evidence of that. Ben Sasse has a great solution. I'm hoping he'll come on the show soon to talk about it because it's very, very important. It's to do what Governor Gianforte did in Montana, another Republican, which is you offer a signing bonus to make sure people do want to work, enhance their dignity, improve the economy, help us recover, help our economy boom and go to work. What Ben Sasse has suggested is a bill to give people an immediate cash incentive right now to apply and to get a job. Look, they're trying the same kind of thing with trying to get people vaccinated. It is amazing to me that there are still people, I know some of them, who are just avoiding vaccinations. I think a lot of it is sheer cussedness. A lot of it is misinformation, which is really problematic. So would you get vaccinated for $100 bonus? I mean, they use that kind of thing. If you fill out a survey, you can make $10. You know, I mean, this is $100 to get vaccinated. It doesn't cost you anything. Or would free beer work better? Or this? How about this? A giveaway of a chance to drive on the Talladega Super Speedway. It says something about who the analysts believe is actually resisting vaccination. And also, what about baseball now that it's coming back? Should games be segregated, not between black and white, but between vaccinated and unvaccinated? We'll talk about all of it next time in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. That's 800-633-1378.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Join me, George Norrie, for Contact in the Desert Worldwide Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to the 28th. Contact in the Desert will be an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient alien civilizations, consciousness, AI, crop circles, and cutting-edge science. More than 130 presentations, 67 speakers, and 2 extra weeks to view our extraordinary lineup. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.